She took her hair and dried her tears that fell upon his feet. My, how she loved her master so. Her reputation was less than pure, but only he could see. Her tears were for the day they lay him low. And for his hand she held a vessel filled with sweet perfume, an exorbitant price, but she breaks the box and its fragrance fills the precious little baby to men of 33. Down through the years, God watched him grow, and from a little town called Bethlehem and on to him go. What he felt inside his broken heart, God only knows. But the hammer struck and the vessel broke, then came that precious he had. What love, never holding one thing back, such love that we should give the best we
Open your Bible, please, to Matthew chapter 3, and I'm happy to be here tonight. I'm always happy to be here. Brother Smith's one of my heroes and one of the men that all of us look up to as one of the great heroes of the Independent Baptist movement in modern days, and praise the Lord for him. And this past month, month and a half, has been a really big time for you, Brother Adam. graduated from Bible college about a month ago, I guess, and then got married about 3 weeks ago, I think, 2.5 or 3 weeks ago. Brother Adam preached for me last Wednesday night, I think it was, and I asked him how he liked being married, and he said it was okay so far. And I was glad to hear that. And then tonight at this milestone where you're being ordained, Matthew chapter 3, and I'm going to read two verses here and say a few words by way of a charge tonight. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1 tells us, "In those days came John the Baptist." Oh, I'm sorry. I guess that's why it says here on the pulpit, "Stand for the reading of God's Word." I should have read that, shouldn't I? Oh, I'm sorry. So, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" I'm going to speak to you for a few minutes on the subject, John the Baptist preacher. Our Father, we pray tonight that you'll help us now, and what a great night this is for Brother Adam and Mickey. And God, I pray that you'll put your hand on them and bless them in a special way. And I pray now that for the next few minutes, as we consider this man of God from the Bible who set such a great example for us, that you might bless it to our hearts, and especially that you might bless it in the life of Brother Adam Joplin. Help us now, we pray, Spirit of God, in Jesus' name, amen. And be seated. The passage that we read here in Matthew chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2 tells us about the ministry of the fellow that I like to tell people was the first of the Baptist preachers. A Roman Catholic lady, I was talking to her one time, and she said, "Now, you understand, of course, that the Catholic Church is the oldest of all of the churches." And I said to her, "But ma'am, don't you realize that the group that I'm a part of is mentioned in the Bible?" And she said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Well, the fellow who baptized Jesus was not John the Catholic, but rather it was John the Baptist. And since John the Baptist is the one chosen of God to baptize the Lord Jesus, I said, I wonder what that makes the Lord Jesus Christ." Well, I was just tweaking her a little bit, of course, but I'm saying to you tonight that John was a Baptist preacher. Now, let me explain what I'm talking about. I don't mean necessarily that he started a church that we can trace our way back to in the way of some kind of a succession, but rather I simply mean that John believed the doctrine of the Bible, and I believe the doctrine of the Bible, and these other Baptist preachers believe the doctrine set forth in the Bible. John, I'm saying, was a Baptist, and I am a Baptist, and Brother Adam testifies tonight that he is a Baptist as well. Now, John was a Baptist preacher, and John received the greatest commendation that a human being could receive when the Lord Jesus Christ said about him in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11, "Among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." Now, I've read that statement again and again and again in the Word of God, and the more that I read that statement that Jesus made, the more astounded I am by it. I mean, here's the Lord Jesus Christ, the omniscient, all-knowing Son of God, who knows everything that there is to know about everybody, and he looked over the entire human race and said, "There's never been a greater than John the Baptist." What greater commendation could anybody receive than to have the Lord Jesus say that about them? Well, this is what Jesus said about this man, John. among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Now that tells me that I can learn some great and important lessons from John concerning what a Baptist preacher ought to be. Now I want to say a word about John's testimony about himself. You see, the verse said here in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching. And may I say to you that that phrase is really definitive of the life and ministry of this man, John. All that John was and all that John ever claimed to be was a preacher, a voice speaking for God Almighty. In John chapter 1, verses 19 through 23, we're told how that the Jewish priests went to John and asked him what he was and who he was. And when they asked him that question, here was John's answer. John said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Now, in setting himself forth as the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 40 in the passage in the first five verses, I noticed that when they asked John who and what he was, that he didn't say, well, I'm a Christian counselor. I noticed that when they asked John who and what he was, that he didn't say, well, I'm a biblical mental therapist. I noticed that when they asked John who and what he was, he didn't say, well, I'm a trained Christian psychologist with an earned PhD from Big Shot University. No, John didn't say any of those things that so many of today's prima donnas say, who think that they're a little bit too sophisticated to be called a preacher. No, John said, in answer to their question, what am I? Who am I? I'm just a voice. I'm just a mouthpiece for God. I'm just a loudspeaker to broadcast what God says. I'm a preacher of the Word of God, a voice speaking on His behalf. May I remind you tonight, Brother Adam, that you're being ordained tonight to be a voice for God. You're being ordained tonight to be a Baptist preacher. And John, this was his testimony about himself. He said, all that I am is a voice. I'm preaching and crying out as a mouthpiece for the God of heaven. Now, as we consider this man, John the Baptist, there are several ways that we could approach this man. We could, for example, focus on the message that John preached. Now, if we focused on John's message, what we would find is that John's message had a twofold theme. The first theme is set forth here in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2, and that was a theme of repentance. John cried out, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, by the way, in Matthew chapter number 4, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ preached the same message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so then the first theme of John's message was the theme of repentance. But I said that John's message had a twofold theme, the first of which was repentance, but the second line of John's theme was he is crying out as he pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, behold the Lamb of God. And as he pointed people to his cousin there on the banks of the Jordan River, He pointed them to Him as the one who would offer the eternal sacrifice and become the Lamb of God to put an end to the sacrificial system. Now, may I say to you that a preacher who will emphasize to people what John emphasized, a preacher who will emphasize on the one hand, repent, and on the other hand, behold the Lamb of God, will be a preacher whose message God can put His hand of blessing upon. And so we could consider tonight John from the standpoint of his message. But rather tonight, let me point out just a few character qualities that John possessed that I believe, Brother Adam, set forth a good example for you and for me and for all of us that God has put His call upon our life. So let me say to you in the first place that John the Baptist preacher was a man of courage. May I say that one of the qualities that is needed by Christians in general and by preachers in particular, and yet a quality that is sorely lacking in modern day Christianity, is this quality of courage. I'm talking about just some old-fashioned grit and some old-fashioned guts. Somebody said that a preacher needs to have a tender heart, but he also needs to have a tough hide. And John was a man who knew what it was to possess some courage. I'm reminded of Joshua in the Old Testament. What a man was Joshua, and what a task he had set before him. He had to take the reins of leadership of the nation of Israel after the death of Moses. How would you like to step into Moses' shoes? Well, this is where Joshua stood, and as he was about to take over the reins of leadership of the nation, he was reminded again and again and again that in order to be the leader of the people of God, that he needed courage. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6, he's admonished, be strong and of a good courage. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7, the admonition is, only be thou strong and very courageous. In verse 9, be strong and of a good courage. Again in verse 18, be strong and of a good courage. Yes, God said, Joshua, as you're about to step into this position of leadership, you're going to need to have some strength and some courage. May I say to you, Brother Adam, that as you enter the ministry that God has called you into, that you're going to need to have some grit in your craw, some old-fashioned courage in the face of adversity. I like what Spurgeon said. He was talking about Daniel in the lion's den. And he said that as they put Daniel there in that lion's den, that one of the mama lions came up and sniffed around at Daniel and looked back at her babies and said, babies, we're not going to get any supper out of this guy. Why, he said, the lion said, why, this fella, he's half backbone and the other half is grit. May I say to you, that's the kind of men that we need in the ministry, are men of God who have some grit down in their craw and some courage to face the adversities of life and of the ministry. Now, may I say to you that this attribute of courage is something that this man, John the Baptist, possessed by the bushel basketful. I love what Jesus said about John when he was commending him in Matthew chapter 11, verses 7 and 8 tell us, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. Why, Jesus said, if you want to find some guy trembling like a reed in the wind, or some fella who's wearing lace and powdered clothes, Jesus said, you'll find those sissy types over in the king's palace. But if that's what you're looking for, don't look toward old John the Baptist, because he's not one of those. I'm saying, dear friend, that God knows tonight that there are enough sissy preachers. We need some men in the ministry who'll be men of courage like John was. Let me hasten on and say, secondly, that not only was John a man of courage, but Brother Adam, John was a man of humility. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 11, John declared, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But speaking of Jesus, he said this, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. I've often wondered, dear friend, if John wasn't worthy to bear the shoes of Jesus Christ, good night, where does that leave me? But I'm afraid that in our society today, that there are preachers who think that they are not only worthy to bear Jesus' shoes, but think that they're worthy to sit on the throne with him. I say to you tonight, Brother Adam, that one of the great sins of the ministry as well as of Christianity in general is the sin of pride. My friend Denny Coyle says, if pride made a devil out of Lucifer, imagine what it'll do to you and to me. John was a man who knew what it was to be humble. I dare say that if this man whom Jesus said was as great as any who had been born of woman, if he understood that he wasn't worthy to bear the shoes of Jesus Christ, then my dear friend, you and I had better understand that we come in a little ways below that. I'm saying, dear friend, don't forget tonight, and Brother Adam, don't you forget that it's a privilege to be a Baptist preacher. God condescended to allow me to have this privilege, and so I'd better not think too highly of myself. Dr. Norris said that there are many workers for God who once made valuable and important contributions to the cause of Christ until, he said, they began to take themselves too seriously. What was he talking about? He was talking about being lifted up in pride and self-importance. And I'm saying tonight, Brother Adam, that you and I need to remember that as Baptist preachers, this is a privilege that God has bestowed upon us. John was a man of courage. John was a man of humility. Then let me say thirdly, that John was a man of prayer. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, and verse number 1, is one of the most amazing things in the Bible, in my estimation. The Scripture tells us there, and it came to pass that as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Do you see here that the one thing that about John the Baptist that stood out in the minds of Jesus' disciples was that John was a man of prayer who also taught his disciples how to pray. May I say to you, Brother Adam, that we need Baptist preachers who'll be men of prayer. We need Baptist preachers who know what it is to get in touch with God and to get hold of his throne. John Rice said, all our failures are prayer failures. Spurgeon said, in prayer, take no rest and give God no rest. Moody said, every great movement of God in the history of the world can be traced to a kneeling figure. John Bunyan said, in prayer, better to have heart without words than words without heart. Somebody else said, if you're a stranger to prayer, you're a stranger to power. Another said, he stands best who kneels most. Somebody else said, when we depend on men, we get what men can do. When we depend on God, we get what God can do. Martin Luther said, I have so much to do today that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. J. Sidlow Baxter said, men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, despise our persons, but they're helpless against our prayers. John was a man of prayer who knew what it was to get hold of God and teach others to do the same. Let me hasten on to say, fourthly, that John was a man of power. And the truth is, he was a man of power largely because he was a man of prayer. But in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 13, as the Lord dispatched the angel to John's father Zacharias to announce the conception and birth of John, Luke 1:13 says, the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. John was a man who knew what it was to preach and to minister and to function in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. The great secret of success in serving the Lord is the power of the Spirit of God. And God's Spirit, his power, is brought to bear in a person's life through the avenue of prayer. That's why Jesus said in Luke 11:13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? It's a matter of asking, my friend. Dr. Jack Hiles said that he prayed more often for the power of the Holy Spirit than for any other thing on his prayer list. And I heard him say that he probably prayed 1,000 times a week for the power of the Spirit of God. Maybe that's why the power of the Spirit of God rested on him in such an unusual fashion. I'm saying John was a man who knew what it was to serve the Lord in the power of the Spirit of God. And then number 5, let me say that John was a man who pointed people to Jesus Christ and turned them to him as the Savior. In Luke 1:16, the angel goes ahead in his announcement of the conception and birth of John and gives this prophecy about John the Baptist. He said, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. What did John do? He turned people toward God. He pointed them to the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the greatest testimonies to John and his greatness is found in the Gospel of John chapter 1. Verse 35 says, again the next day after, John the Baptist stood and two of his disciples, And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, John saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Why, John pointed people to Jesus so much so that his own followers stopped following him and started following Jesus. What a testimony. What a marvelous thing. Somebody asked Dr. B.R. Lakin, are you not concerned about the condition of the world? And Dr. Lakin said, I'm not trying to fix up this world. I'm trying to convince as many people as I can to follow me to a better world. John was a man who pointed people to the Savior. And finally, let me say that John was a man whose primary concern was for the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 3, beginning in verse 25, the Bible says, Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. And then John said, This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. Why, they came maybe thinking in their minds that John would be a little bit jealous when they reported to him that the following of the Lord Jesus was now apparently exceeding John's own following. But if that's what they thought, dear friend, they had misread John entirely. They came and told John, all men are seeking this Jesus. And John said, my joy is fulfilled in that. I'm happy, he said. Jesus is outshining me. That's what it's all about. He must increase. My friend, the greatest concern in the life of Baptist preachers should be that the Lord Jesus be uplifted, should be that the Lord Jesus Christ be honored, should be that the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified. He's the one that it's all about. It was Sam Jones who described his ministry as being a ministry of going up and down the country bragging on Jesus. That's a pretty good ministry to have. It was in the days of Spurgeon in London. He and Joseph Parker were the two most prominent, most well-known preachers in London. And a traveler visited the city of London in those days, and his desire was to go and hear those two preachers, Joseph Parker and Charles Spurgeon. His report of what he heard and what he saw when he went to hear these preachers was like this. He said, on Sunday morning, I went to hear Mr. Parker. And he said Mr. Parker was so eloquent, and his oratorical skills were so marvelous. His eloquence was so great that the traveler said, I left that church that morning after hearing Joseph Parker, and I thought to myself, my, what a preacher. He said that night, I went to the tabernacle to hear Mr. Spurgeon. And he said that night, Mr. Spurgeon lifted up his voice and preached on the lordship of Jesus Christ. This traveler said, I sat enthralled and listened as the great preacher extolled the Savior and lifted up the Son of God to the highest heaven. He said he so exalted and so honored and so uplifted and so glorified the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that I left that church that night. But when I left that church, he said the thought that came into my mind that night was not, my, what a preacher. But he said the thought that came into my mind as I left that church that night was, my, what a Savior. My friend, that's what it's all about. And Spurgeon had the better portion. John was a man, having looked over the entire human race, Jesus said there's never been one born greater than that one. What was it about John? Well, for one thing, John was a man of courage. For another thing, John was a man of humility. For another thing, John was a man of prayer. John was a man of power. John was a man who pointed people to the Savior. And John was a man whose primary concern was for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Adam, if you'll take those qualities of John and incorporate them into your life, and if I'll take them and incorporate them into my life, then maybe God's hand of blessing can rest upon us in some small measure as it rested upon John. God bless you, Brother Adam. Be faithful.
Amen. Amen. My, my. What a wonderful challenge and charge. John the Baptist never started out with the goal of having Jesus to say he's the greatest man that's ever been born of woman. John the Baptist started out with the goal of being faithful and obedient and submissive to the Lord's will. And the result is what followed. And that's the way it should be in our lives. No preacher should start out with the goal to be the greatest, but to be faithful, to be submissive, to be obedient, to have that walk with God. What a great challenge and a great charge, and I thank you for it, Dr. Nichols. And here, after 43 years of preaching the gospel, man, that challenged and charged me. I think I want to keep on doing it some more. That's wonderful. At this time, we're going to ask you and Miss Mickey to kneel here. And the presbytery is going to come by and put their hands on your head, Brother Adam, and pray for you.